So whatever I know, I owe to my spiritual teachers, and I will take 1 minute to offer my respects to my spiritual teachers. Om Gyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Mukham karoti vachalam pangum langate girim yatkripatamaham bande shri gurum dinataranam. Pañcakalpatarubhyascha kripasindubhyaiva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shrivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Before I forget, I should mention that today is also the disappearance day of His Holiness Sridhar Swami. There's a picture of his next to Srila Prabhupada's, by Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet on the Vyasa-san. Any disciples here of Sridhar Maharaj? Just one. But are they here?
They're in the kitchen.
They're in the kitchen, Srivas Thakur was deeply dedicated to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His devotion and his love of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was unparalleled. He was at the same similar age as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's father. As a matter of fact, Srivastakur and his wife, Malini Devi, they were friends with Jagannath Mishra, the father of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Shachi Mata, the mother of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So when Mahaprabhu was born, Srivastakur and his wife were there to help. And as you all know, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a naughty boy. It was one of those lively kids. And so apparently, Srivas Thakur was there also to help with raising little Nimai. Now, Navadvip in those days was a center of learning. It was a center of learning. And in Krishna consciousness, we use varieties of tools. So knowledge is also one of the tools we use in Krishna consciousness. We use a lot of things. We use instruments, we use clothing, technology, and so on. But the bhakti is for Krishna. Sometimes the bhakti moves away from Krishna and focuses on the instruments we use to serve Krishna. And knowledge is, people think that gross sense gratification is attractive. But the pleasure that comes out of speculating, as Srila Prabhupada would say, mental gymnastics, The pleasure that comes from dealing with philosophy is great. It's huge and therefore can be very seductive. And this was the situation in Navadvip in those days. So the Vaishnavas that lived in Navadvip were very unhappy about this. What does the speaker have to do here to get a cup of water? Should I dance? Thank you. So the Vaishnavas were very unhappy about this state of affairs. They were worshipping their deities and they were holding the kirtanas and so on. But the Navadvipa was just completely lost in this contamination of jnana or philosophical contamination, where philosophy was not anymore used to understand Krishna bhakti and how to give one's life, dedicate one's life to the service of Krishna. But people indulged in it just for the sake of pleasure. And so there were all these panditas, very learned people, would go around and debate other people for the sake of prestige and so on. And then Nimai Pandit grows up and he becomes apparently like one of them. And he's also behaving like everyone else. He's just a pundit, a learned person who goes around and simply enjoys indulging in philosophical discussions, no traces of bhakti. And what was even worse was that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so good at it that no one else came close to him. So the Vaishnavas in Navadvip felt very unhappy. They were already unhappy, but after this they were feeling very unhappy. Thank you. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sometimes devotees say that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is an incarnation of Krishna, but he is not. He is Krishna himself. And so if God wants to appear a certain way, then he does look to everyone else that way. So as he was pretending to be a dry scholar, philosopher like everyone else, in the city of Navadvip, everyone thought that he was just that, philosopher. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had his own plan, not to go too much into it. He had his own plan and he was waiting for the appropriate time to show who he actually was. Mahaprabhu would sometimes stop Vaishnavas that he would run into in the streets of Navadvip, and then he would engage him in philosophical discussions. And he would humiliate them. Because he was so good at philosophy. He would ask a question, and then the other party would answer. And then Mahaprabhu would tell that person or that group of people that they were wrong. And then he would show them by philosophical presentation how they were wrong. And then that other party would agree. And then Mahaprabhu would say, that's not right either. And then he would present another conclusion. And then he would show how that conclusion is actually right. And then the other party would agree again. And then he would do the same thing again. That's also not right. So in this way, would humiliate people. And Vaishnavas hated him. They would run away from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so everyone, including Shivas, were unhappy about this. And they were all attracted to him. Because Mahaprabhu was, like Krishna, very beautiful. Very beautiful. Very attractive. And so one day Shivas Thakur told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that you're so learned, etc., etc., and you should study. You should study to understand Krishna Bhakti. After all, the goal of all learning is to understand Krishna and to become a devotee of Krishna. And because they were alone, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told them, by your mercy, when I get your mercy, one day I will become a Vaishnava. It was serious. So Mahaprabhu wanted to become a Vaishnava only through the blessing of a Vaishnava. And he was taking these blessings from Srivast Thakur. And as we know, later on, after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took initiation, official initiation, then from Srila Ishwarapuri, then he manifested all the symptoms of a Vaishnava just overnight. Initiation took place, and next second, he was a full-on Vaishnava, full-on devotee of Krishna, bursting with bhakti. So when he returned to Navadvip, people were quite amazed, and all the Vaishnavas were very, very happy. After some time, you're probably familiar, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started his Sankirtana movement, but in private, in the house of Srivast Thakur. And one of the incidences that stands out is the, but a sort of unfortunate incident where Srivast Thakur's son died while the kirtan was going on. And no one knew that because the kirtan was going on outside of the house while the son died in the house. And then the few women that were in the house, they started to cry, of course. And Srivast Thakur, his devotion to Krishna, his devotion to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was such that when he walked into the house and heard that his son was dead, first thing he considered was that the women were making too much noise and they may disturb the kirtan outside. And then there was a discussion that went on for some time. It's described in Chaitanya Bhagavata. And then everyone was pacified and he came out. And then later on, way later on, at night, Mahaprabhu asked Srivast Thakur, something was going on here? What was going on? I felt something wasn't right here. Then finally, Srivast wouldn't say, but someone else said that Srivast Thakur's son died. So Mahaprabhu was very disturbed that Srivast Thakur did not communicate this to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And anyhow, they had a conversation. Once I heard His Holiness Bhakti Vikar Swami say that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in the right part of the world, Bengal, where people even nowadays tend to be very soft, very emotional. And Krishna Bhakti involves a lot of emotion. So the emotions that Mahaprabhu had for Srivas and that Srivas had for Mahaprabhu was is difficult to describe. But to pacify Srivas and his wife, Mahaprabhu told them, I'm sorry you have lost your son, but at least you still have two sons, Lord Nityananda and myself. Mahaprabhu considered himself the son of Srivast Thakur, as well as Nityananda. Because anyways, they helped actually raise Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So such were the dealings between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srivast Thakur, not to go into details. In the Bhagavad Purana, the 10th canto, there's the incident where Krishna and Balaram, no, it was just Krishna, he sent Balaram and other gopas to go beg some food from a brahmanas, from a group of brahmanas who refused because they thought, well, who are these kids here? We're doing these important rituals. And so they returned to Krishna, well, unhappy about this, that these people did not give any food for Krishna. So Krishna sent them again, but this time to the wives of these brahmanas. And the wives who were not engaged in all these socially respected rituals, simply upon hearing Krishna and Balaram, they went beside themselves. And they, whatever food they had at home, they brought out because it's for Krishna and Balaram. And not only that, but they insisted to go meet Krishna and Balaram, which they did. And so when they met Krishna welcomed them, this, that, the other thing, and then he told them to go back. And they did. They went back. Unlike the gopis, when Krishna blew his flute on a full moon night of the Sharad season, gopis went out to Krishna. Krishna greeted them, and then he told them to go back. But they didn't go back. Krishna ordered them to go back, and they didn't go back. Because that was the nature of their attraction to Krishna. It was just, they couldn't help it. Krishna ordered them to go, but they couldn't. So this is the wives of the brahmanas were definitely pure devotees. But the level of bhakti or devotion of the gopis for Krishna was just like way above that. We find similar thing in Chaitanya Lila, or the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Devotees would come from Bengal after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after he took sannyas. He went to live in Jagannath Puri, which was not too far from Bengal. And Bengalis in those days used to travel to Jagannath Puri and back. So in this way, Mother Shachi could get the news of her son. And so every year, once a year, Vaishnavas from Bengal would go to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri. And then upon arriving to Jagannath Puri, they would not do what a pilgrim is supposed to do, which is go take bath and then go see Lord Jagannath, the presiding deity of the holy place. They would go straight to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Mahaprabhu would be upset with this. Why are you doing this? What kind of etiquette is this? You guys should know better. And the answer was that their legs do not listen. Their legs. Yeah. So in other words, their attraction to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was such that they would go against Vaishnava etiquette, even against the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Not to be imitated. Guru tells you to go somewhere and you don't. I already see someone thinking like that. I hope no one thinks like that. Lord Nityananda did a similar thing. He would, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him, don't come to Jagannath Puri. I want you to stay in Bengal and spread Krishna consciousness. And he just couldn't help it. He would say yes, yes, and then he would come again. He just couldn't help himself. Such was the attraction of these devotees for Krishna. And in Chaitanya Lila, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said so many times, he told his devotees, witnessing their love, their dedication, their devotion to him, he would say, I'm your property. This body belongs to you. Whatever you want to do with it, do. He didn't say this just to please them in some cheap way. But he was literally purchased. He was literally owned by the devotion of his devotees. Because this is the nature of love. It is very attractive. Even on the mundane plane where love trickles down in some perverted, if not horribly perverted ways, when we see that someone has some affection for us, it's irresistible. So the process of bhakti, is the most powerful way to actually connect to Krishna, to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the process of bhakti. And this is what we're trying to practice. I don't know what's it like here, but at least in the States, you hear it all the time. People say, all you need is love. We just need love, love, love. And they're right. They're right. But when these people say love, what are they referring to? So in order to understand what people refer to when they say love, I did what Srila Prabhupada often said to do, which is pick up a dictionary. And I have printed. Dictionary meaning of love. The most trivial, the most bizarre, least relatable definition of love is, in tennis or some other game, a score of 0. Like in Love 15. So is that the love that we all need? Hardly. The other one said, a deep romantic or sexual attachment to someone. Is that the kind of love we need? An intense feeling of deep affection. And the last one, increase of interest for something. Like people have, they feel interest in something, so that becomes love. That's considered love. And what becomes very obvious by looking how people use word love and how it's defined in a dictionary is that people lack a basic understanding of what actually love is. Many ancient civilizations differentiated between different types of love. So, for example, in Plato's symposium means a gathering. Like a bunch of people got together, and you know they're the Greeks. They stay up all night discussing stuff. So what shall we discuss tonight? Let's discuss love. And so different people, as they went around the room, different people were saying different things. But one interesting thing that comes out of that conversation is there are different types of love. There is the divine love, which is more comprehensive, and then there is the mundane love, which is not very comprehensive. You find it also in the Christian tradition, for example. There's difference between lust and agape, right? How do you say that in Slovenian? Anyhow, so probably Christians adopted the word, but they use it to indicate a love different to lust. It was a divine love, the love that involved love of the soul for God. For example, in Vedic language, there is no word for love. There are varieties of words that indicate anything from kama, which is sort of usually translated as lust, but it just means a very selfish form of love. Very selfish form of to prema, which is divine love. And so very quickly, in the Vaishnava tradition, as it is taught by Srila Rupa Goswami, real love has six characteristics. And this is love. This is love that targets God. Because love that involves God covers everything. Whereas love for everything does not include God. And it tends to be selfish. So in Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu, which Srila Prabhupada summarized in the book that he called Nectar of Devotion, there are six characteristics that are listed for this divine love. First one is kleshagni, which means that if it is love, it destroys klesha. Klesha means pain, misery, like that. So love that leads to misery is not love, according to Vedic concept. Then the next one is shubhada. Shubha means good or auspicious. A boy loves a girl, and a girl loves a boy, and they eat a chicken. So obviously that love is somewhat crippled. In other words, this love is not all auspicious. If it's real love, it should be all auspicious, Srila Rupa Goswami says. So it has to be shubhada, has to be auspicious, has to be good. Not just good a little bit here or a little bit there, but it is truly good all throughout. Otherwise, it is not love. Moksha lagutakriti, which means that it... the pleasure, the satisfaction that comes from impersonal liberation is nothing in comparison to the ecstatic feelings of love. Then, sudurlabha. Sudurlabha means that it is difficult to obtain. Difficult to obtain. Why is it difficult to obtain? Does anyone know from the book? Just if anyone knows, so it's not just me speaking here. It's not cheap. Definitely it's not cheap. Okay, that's one. It attracts grief. Actually, what happens, this love, because it's such a pure love, when it targets Krishna, when it targets God, God loses his freedom, like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in his relationship with Srivast Thakur. He literally became Srivast Thakur's property. So therefore, it is not given easy. And what is the other one? We covered that. Okay, now I'll just say, no problem.
Maybe that Krishna, even if someone is qualified, don't give it immediately. You increase expectation or rasa or something.
You're not quite, but you're getting close. It is not obtainable by one's own effort. In other words, by our own effort, we can get only so far, but Krishna has to give it. So therefore, it's stated, it's sudurlabha. In other words, it's not a cheap thing. But it is the goal of life. So the only thing worth our time. The only thing worth our time. Sandra Nanda Visheshatma. Ananda means bliss, and Sandra means like compacted bliss, like a very dense form of bliss. And then Krishna Karshini, it is the only thing that attracts Krishna. In other words, we could perform rituals, we can give large donations, I mean, we could do anything. But devoid of bhakti for Krishna, Krishna is not very attractive. The only thing that ever attracts Krishna is this Hladini Shakti, the devotion to Krishna. So the nature of this Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying that this bhakti is unmotivated. It is unmotivated. And in order for us to understand what love really is, if we contemplate what unmotivated means, we will quickly see that this necessitates that this love is an eternal thing, that it's built into every one of us. Literally, where the soul is a bundle of bhakti. But right now, that bhakti kind of got covered over. And so when that bhakti goes through these dirty filters, comes out as kama. Or some kind of lust. But it's eternally situated in the heart of every living being. And the program of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srivast Thakur, and all of the Vaishnavas was to uncover this bhakti, remove the coverings that cover the bhakti so that this devotion to God can come out. This is Mahaprabhu's mission, and this is the goal of life. Ultimately, the only thing worth striving for. Because of our devotion is partial, in other words, it's incomplete, like between a boy and a girl. We find ourselves in sometimes inspired state of consciousness and sometimes uninspired. And in this way we go up and down. But one who has realized one's relationship with Krishna is always inspired. And consciously and subconsciously, we all search for this inspiration, for this constantly inspired state. But in ignorance, we look for water in the desert. And so, truly merciful Vaishnavas, they feel unhappy when they see this. And so they naturally engage in the Sankirtana movement to communicate this message to others. It's a beautiful message. This is a beautiful message. Only an insane person would not want this. There are a few people who are like really out of it. So Srila Prabhupada came to communicate this to us. And he asked us also to communicate this message to others. Rules, regulations, stuff, they'll come later, but this one simple, beautiful message, the thing that everyone's looking for, this is something that we could use our time and energy to think. How to communicate this to the world? Srila Prabhupada said at least once, and I think he said it more than once, but I have evidence of him saying this at least once. He told to, of course he was in America, so he was speaking to American disciples. And he said, what is the use of you being Americans if you cannot do something wonderful? And he said, I'm an Indian man. I'm an old Indian man. You're all young Americans. Each one of you can do 10 times more than I. So potentially what Srila Prabhupada was saying, oh, by the way, in my opinion, don't tell this to Americans, but I think Slovenians are more qualified. They're more able. So you can all do 20 times more. What else to do with our time? What else to do with our time and energy? At least on this day we can take inspiration from His Holiness Sridhar Swami, who spent his time and energy trying to communicate this message. And definitely we can take inspiration from Srivas Thakur and the movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as it was initiated in the house of Srivas Thakur. People think all the time about stuff. I mean, people... No baby on it, right? No, just a backpack. Otherwise, we would have had Shiva's Leela repeated here. You would cry and someone would tell you, wait. Just kidding. People put up all these billboards wherever you go. I mean, there's, I guess Slovenians must be using more underwear than any other people in the world. I've never seen so many billboards advertising underwear. Maybe they were double. But there's so many billboards advertising this, that, and the other thing. And some or other, when it comes to advertising spiritual stuff, everyone feels stigmatized. Like, that's not cool to advertise. Why not? That's the coolest thing to advertise. That's the best thing to advertise. What is Sankirtana movement? It's just like the advertising. People, for the most part, are followers. They do what the billboard says. So why not advertise that which truly is beautiful? We just have to think a little bit, use our time and intelligence, and take inspiration from other Vaishnavas. If I run out of ideas, or you know, find myself kind of cornered, not knowing, you know, what to do next, I just look around the world what devotees are doing. Just pick up some ideas here and there and tweak the thing, adjust it, and there's so many creative minds in the world. Otherwise we'll just become old and we'll have not much to tell to our grandchildren. We'll have to come up with some stories, lie to them. When I was young, I was a book distributor. Hare Krishna. If there are any questions or comments, we have a few minutes to enter. Yes, please. Godhead, as far as I understand, was a term that Srila Prabhupada took from his spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Because Godhead refers to the head of all gods, meaning the Supreme Personality. That's as far as I understand. Because in Vedic language, you have different terms like Deva, for example. Deva could refer to God or demigods. And then also among different forms of God, there is also I think Srila Prabhupada called Krishna Fountainhead. In other words, the source of all other incarnations of God. Ete chamsha kala pumsa krishnastu bhagavan svayam indrari vyakulam lokam ridyanti yuga yuga. That Krishna, there's this chapter in the Bhagavatam that describes different incarnations. But then it says, but Krishna is the source of all these incarnations. So Lord Ram is God, but maybe not Godhead. Is that right? Is my understanding right about this? That's what I got, but Dhananjaya Prabhu says I'm right. So if I'm wrong, talk to him. You're welcome. I think, yeah. Yes, there is. Let's answer that one first. I think Srila Prabhupada gave the example of, he compared a bad student, a bad disciple to a mosquito. So just the fact that the student is close to the spiritual teacher doesn't tell you much. I mean, it might be just a nuisance. Like a mosquito, you just want to slap the thing. So, yeah, one should have appropriate, right relationship with one's spiritual master and also with Krishna and with other living beings too. With devotees and non-devotees. How to get love of Krishna? Very difficult. Love of Krishna is very natural. It is described that simply by engaging in the process of devotional service, that love automatically comes out. So serving Krishna is not something that is foreign to us. It's just something that we have forgotten. Just like I sort of forgot Croatian language. But as soon as I start speaking, in a matter of several days, it comes back. So we're in a situation which is something like amnesia. And then when coming in contact with things from our past, meaning from the spiritual world, then we remember stuff. And then, of course, Krishna also has to give his blessings. If we're truly seeking Krishna, not something else, then Krishna also gives blessings so we can easily move forward. Is that okay? Okay.